blessing to have you all here tonight. It's such a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. I never regret coming to the house of the Lord. I'm never sorry that I was there. I love being in the house of the Lord, and I love being with my brothers and sisters. Well, I'm going to just open up with prayer before I get into the word. Oh, praise your name, precious Spirit. Lord, we just worship you, and we just thank you for your presence here, oh God. We thank you that you are here with us, and we thank you that you have a purpose and you have a plan, oh God. Lord, I ask you to open our ears to hear tonight, oh God. Open our hearts to receive, Lord Jesus. Lord, let new revelation flow into your people, oh God. Lord, speak to us through your word, Jesus. Show us something that's new, something we were missing, oh God. Lord, we just praise your name, and Lord, we want every day of our lives to glorify you every minute of every day, Father. We ask you to work in us. We ask you to stir in us, oh God. And Lord, we just give you all the glory and all the praise, precious Savior. Lord, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for your presence. I'm so grateful for your love, precious Savior. Lord, to you be all the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So tonight I want to talk to you about mindsets. There are two mindsets. The Bible names two mindsets. There is the old man mindset, which is before Christ comes into our life, and the old mindset leads to death. And there is the new man mindset, which is after Christ has saved us and Holy Spirit has come in, and it leads to life and peace. The question is, what mindset are you? Well, gosh, to be able to answer that, we might need to know, how do we know what mindset we are, right? It might not be an easy to answer question. Well, our mindset is reflected in our words and in our actions. The mindset we live by is reflected in how we live, how we do life with each other, how we are in relationships. Hallelujah. But ultimately, you choose your mindset. It's up to you. You get to choose. And you can choose it every minute of every day, or you can just be the part-time chooser, right? Because without making a choice, I'm not going to choose. It's too much work. Well, you've made a choice. By doing nothing, and you continue to live in the old man mindset, even though you're a new creation, you've made a choice. And that choice is robbing you of the victory every day. And that choice is robbing you of the change that should be taking place in your life. Remember, we've been studying, and we've been on a roadmap to change. That is our goal. That is our purpose, is that we be changed into the likeness of Jesus. And one of the things that's going to help that is your mindset. If your mindset is set in the old man mindset, if you are exactly the same person you were the day you were saved, there's a misconnection, a misfire going on somewhere. You're saved. You're saved, but there's no victory in your life. There's no fruit in your life. There's no glory to God going on in your life because you've made a choice to live in the old man. Now you can say, well, that's harsh. I didn't make a choice to be stuck here. I beg to differ. I'm sorry, but by making no choice, you've made a choice, and your life is going to reflect that choice. You know that person that you've known 100 years, they've been saved as long as you know them, and yet you can't see evidence of that salvation. That's old mindset that's never been broken. That's old mindset that's just been set in, and even though your spirit was made new, you've stuck in that dead mindset because it leads to death. It doesn't lead to glory. It doesn't lead to life. It doesn't lead to peace. Now, the second choice you can make is study the Word. Seek the Lord. Choose relationship with the Holy Spirit. That would be not choosing a relationship. Would be like living in the same house as your husband or your children, and yet you never speak. You never relate. You're just passing day and night, but there's nothing there. That's kind of like it is when you don't make a choice. Holy Spirit lives there, but you never speak to him. You hardly ever see him. You never look for him. You never seek him out. There's no relationship going on there. And that's the dead man mindset. Because Holy Spirit lives in us for a purpose, that we might be changed into the likeness of Jesus. And we don't make that change if Holy Spirit isn't guiding us down that road. Because nobody makes that change easy, because our characters are formed. I read a study once for homeschool, and I read this study, and it was about our characters. A child's character is formed by the age of 6 to 10. It's done. It's solid. That is the person they will be. That's a little scary to me. But the character traits, the character habits are there. And they are formed tight by the ages of 6 to 10. I think it was actually like 6 to 8. I just put 10 because it gives it a little more time. A little more hope, that's right. But 6 to 8 years old, the character is done, solidified into who we will be. Hallelujah. And so that old mindset is really hard to put down. It's really hard to break. It's really hard to walk away from it. It's a choice to leave that old character. It's a choice to make changes in our habits. And if we don't make that change, we get stuck in the old man mindset. Hallelujah. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, everybody knows this verse. It says, "Therefore, if you are in Christ Jesus, you are a new creation, and old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." All things. All things. But if we stay in the old mindset, if we stay in the dead mindset, all things becomes nothing. Because we are rejecting the transformation power of salvation in the Holy Spirit. He has come to transform us. Revelation power. Hallelujah. What Jesus did on the cross is enough if we'll receive it into our hearts and into our minds and into our souls. But our souls often reject change. That part of us that's set in our ways. Hallelujah. This verse is referring to the spirit man. And our spirit man is made brand new at salvation. Our spirit is transformed instantly through salvation. When we say, "Jesus, oh, you're my Savior. I need you. I need you. Come in and take away my sins. Forgive me and live with me. Be with me. Teach me." We've been made brand new, our spirit man. And now Holy Spirit lives in our spirit man and habitates with us. Hallelujah. And so Holy Spirit's always trying to get our attention. Always trying to sow life, speak life, speak life, speak life. But we have to choose to listen. We have to choose to be in relationship with him. If not, our characters and our habits are controlled through our thoughts and through our emotions. And our soul will just stay the same. That's who we are, our soul. It's all of our thoughts, all of our emotions, all of everything of us, our character, our habits. These areas of us are controlled by the old man mindset until we make a decision to change that. We have to allow Holy Spirit to speak life into us and to work in us and give us the desire and the strength to work on our character. We have to learn to live in the new man mindset. We have to be Holy Spirit influenced mindset. We can even ask the Lord, "Lord, help me think like you do. Holy Spirit, put your thoughts in my head. Help me think what you think." And only through that are we going to break that old man mindset. In Romans 12:2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And how are we transformed? By the renewing of our mind. Transformation in our life comes through our mindset being renewed to a new life mindset. And that brings changes in our characters. And that's where change has to come. Hallelujah. We have to choose the word. We have to choose to believe the word over our feelings, over our thoughts, over our emotions. We have to choose the word that God gives, and we have to choose and believe that God gives life and God speaks life and God shows us life and teaches us how to live and walk. We can't depend on that old mindset. Well, it was good enough for my mama. It's good enough for me. You know, in Mexico, they sometimes live by that mindset. Well, this is how my mother did it. Mom made beans, cooked them fresh, and then they sat on the stove for the next 3 days because we didn't have refrigeration back then. Well, you know what that happens when you leave beans on the stove for 3 days? So, you know, by day three, they heat them up, throw in a little baking powder and or baking soda, and heat them up again and serve them all over again. Well, that leads to a lot of stomach aches and other things. That's an old mindset. We have refrigeration. They have refrigeration. You let those beans cool for an hour and then you put them in the fridge. And then they're good for the next week. You don't just get 3 days out of them. You get a whole week. But the mindset has to change. And when I mentioned this to someone, I was literally told, this is how my mama did it. It was good enough for her. It's good enough for me. Well, no thank you to the beans. I've got a sensitive system. They don't take 3 days of beans sitting on the stove. And that mindset will get us into trouble every time. Hallelujah. We have to seek the Lord, and we have to seek to have our minds renewed and our hearts renewed so that we can make better choices, so that we can live in a renewed mindset, a new life mindset. Hallelujah. Because the world is watching us. The world is watching you and I. They're watching to see, do I see Jesus in them? She says she's a Christian. Do I see Jesus? When someone comes up to you and asks for help and you got that big old bumper sticker on your car that says, Jesus is love. And they come up to you and ask for help or ask for a buck. You say, I don't have time for you. Get a job. Wow. What a Jesus reflection that might be. Yeah. Right? But people are watching our lives. They're seeing how we live. And I've probably told this story here because I've told this story everywhere. But we were living in Mexico and our dining room had a big window at the end of it. And then along the side, it had a bay window. And then down at the kitchen, it had a nice size kitchen window. And in our family room, we had a big sliding glass door. So I've got windows all around, you know. And our deck, we were 47 steps up from the bottom of the canyon. So we were sat up high. Everybody could see our place from the canyon. Everywhere we lived, every neighbor could see our place, right? And one morning I was having trouble with this. You know, I was having trouble with, you know, everybody knows what I'm doing. And I was complaining to the Lord ever so gently. And I said, Lord, I'm just tired of this. I'm tired of this. Why? Why do I have to live this way? Why? You know, as I have a neighbor come in. So I lived on a front house, and up behind me were two other smaller apartments. And so to get to the neighbors behind me, they had to walk the front of my house, which is a big sliding glass door, and then the big kitchen window, and then the next kitchen window, and then the third kitchen window. And so they could see everything. If we were in the living room watching TV, everybody could see. If I was sitting at the kitchen table doing my studies, everybody could see. And I didn't get just one hello. I got one at each window. Hello, hello, neighbor. And then, hello, neighbor. And I'm like, Lord, oh, my gosh, this is too much. And you know, the Lord said to me, you live in a glass house. I said, yeah, no kidding. I'm surrounded by windows, Lord. Where are we going with this? What do you mean I live in a glass house? He said, your life is on a show. It's being watched. Everything you do, everybody around you is watching to see if you are who you proclaim to be. You don't get a break. You don't get a curtain so you can have a bad moment and nobody sees or nobody knows. You know, when we were in our bedroom at night, or in the morning actually, so we're in bed in the morning, early in the morning, and we could hear the neighbors next door stirring their coffee. Clink, 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 clink. About 6 a.m. woke us up all the time. We're that close to people. We can hear the coffee cup being stirred. We can hear their conversation at the table. Well, that meant we were also that close to people. They could hear our conversations. They could hear our morning talk. And the Lord said, when you're my child, the world is watching you. What are they seeing? And I'm like, way too much, Lord, way too much. And you can't change it. One afternoon, I had a phone call, and it was one of my neighbors, and she said, hey, sorry to bother you, which my neighbors never called me. They usually just stood out on their porch and said, hey, that was the Mexican telephone. But this one was a real phone, and she called, and she said, I have a question. I'm kind of embarrassed. I'm like, really? What? Yeah, you know those big steaks you cooked for dinner? My husband wants to know where you get them. He wants one of those. I'm like, oh, you saw what I cooked on my barbecue? Yeah, my husband really loved how those steaks looked. What kind of steak were they? Well, it was a rib steak, and I bought them at this butcher market, but I just told him cut them thick. Oh, my husband can't wait to have those. Those looked so good. You could see what they looked like. Oh, they looked good. My husband was serious. He wants one of those steaks. I'm like, Lord, they know what food I'm cooking. He said, your life is an open book. Remember, the world is watching you to see me. What are they seeing? Are they seeing you? Or are they seeing me? Hallelujah. And you know, the world is watching the children of God. And they're watching how we're living. And are they seeing Jesus? Do they hear Jesus speaking? Are they seeing his love in action in our lives? Sometimes we can say, yeah, absolutely. But what about the rest of the time? Because it's not just a part-time window to your life. It's an all-the-time window. What about the people you work with? Do they know you're different? Do they know that you're not just one of the guys? Do they know you live by a different standard? And do they feel judged or do they feel convicted? Because conviction is of God. Judgment is of the world, is of the enemy. God brings conviction, but the enemy brings accusation. Hallelujah. So what are they seeing? Are they seeing that we're in a real relationship with the Lord, that it's the most important relationship in our lives? And do you know how people will know that the Lord is the most important relationship in your life? By your love. By how you love other people, by how much grace you give other people, by how forgiving you are, by how kind you are. Do you know they will see the fruit of the Spirit? When Holy Spirit lives in you, there should be fruit that he produces in you. But if you have that old mindset, that fruit won't be produced. Because that mindset keeps us stuck in the rut of death. It's a dead mindset. But when we've got the new man mindset, whoo, we are going for it with everything we have. We are serving Jesus. There's no turning back. There's going to be fruit in your life. There's going to be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. They will be evident in your life. Not just once in a while. It will be evident all the time. There might be a slip once in a while. But that won't be the norm. The norm will be the new mindset. And these fruits will be what people see in you all the time. Hallelujah. You know, 1 John 4:7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God. And everyone who is born of God and knows God." Hallelujah. "He who does not love does not know God." If you're not loving in your relationships, there's a lack of the presence of God. The word says you don't actually know God. It says he who does not love does not know God. For God is love. We don't get to pick and choose who we love. Do you know that? We don't get to say, okay, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Okay, I love mo. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. I love mo. We don't get to choose like that. Love isn't a game. Love is a way of life. Love was the way of Jesus' life. Love is a mindset. It's a new creation mindset. And we love because God loves us. We love because we understand that we're all his children. Whether we think people are good or not, God loves them. Remember, the word says he loved the sinner before they were saved. He loves the sinner. Well, that somehow doesn't seem right. He loves the people that you might not think deserve it. He loves the criminals sitting on death row. He doesn't want to see anyone not know him or be in relationship with him. He loves the unlovable because they're his creations. And he wants them to see him, in you and I. He wants us to be a witness to them in our words and in our actions and in our deeds. Love is where it's at. And if we can't love each other, if husbands can't love wives and our children can't love us, there is a broken connection somewhere in our lives. Do you know the church has as much divorce or as high a divorce rate as the world? There's something wrong with that. I'm not condemning you if you've been divorced. Not at all, not at all. But the point is, shouldn't our marriage success rate be higher than the world's? Because we have Jesus. We have the new man mindset. We have been saved. Holy Spirit operates in me, and Holy Spirit operates in my husband. Shouldn't that make a difference? Shouldn't we be able to communicate differently? Shouldn't we be able to relate differently than the people of the world? And yet child abuse lives in the church. Spousal abuse lives in the church because we're stuck in these old man mindsets that just lead to death in place of choosing the new man mindset. And being set free from the hurts and the pains and the bondage of what we've been through. And it says in verse 9, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." You and I are to live through Christ Jesus. Through what he's done in us and for us. We live and we can have the new creation mindset because of what Jesus did on that cross. What that cross did for us. Oh, I I love that cross. But I love even more that empty tomb. Right? We use the symbol of the cross as Easter, but what we should use is that tomb right there. Right? Because that tomb is what gives the power to that cross. Right? Because that tomb is empty. That speaks to who was in that tomb. The enemy couldn't kill him, couldn't keep him down, because he rose again because he loves you and I. And he was making a path. He was making a map, a road map to heaven for us, a way that we could be in relationship with the Lord. It started here, but here is where it was perfected. Right there. Because God loved us, he sent his son. Oh, hallelujah. That is something marvelous. It said, in this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. He was the price. He was the payment. He was the cost for our sins. And we all have sin. We all have sin. And you know what? I am grateful every day for what Jesus paid for my life. Do you know what? What Jesus paid for my life gives my life value beyond just who I am. My life isn't what someone else may think. You know, my daughter might think my life is worth a whole lot. My husband might think it's worth, a little bit more some days, maybe a little less other days or moments. But Jesus thinks that was worth my life. You can't put a price on that. You can't put a price on salvation. Oh, and with salvation came so much into our lives. And it said in verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, and you know, remember, he loved us while we were still sinners. I love the story of the two men on the cross beside Jesus. Because one of those two men recognized who Christ was. He had a revelation moment hanging there on that cross. They were begging, they were crying, they were complaining. They were cursing Jesus, cursing the world. And Jesus didn't do that. He was there for a purpose. He wasn't there because he was guilty. That's what the world thought, but that's not why he was there. He was there because he was innocent. He was there because he was the unblemished lamb that became the sacrifice for you and me. The price of your life. The price for you. What's his life? What is higher than that price? What is higher than that price? He gave everything for you so that you could be restored to the Father, so that you could be in relationship with the Father. Hallelujah. So we also ought to love one another, knowing that he loved us. Before we were worthy, before we were worth it, before we were saved, how can we not love others in that condition? Because we were in that condition. And how easy it is to forget where we came from or what God brought us out of after we've been saved for a little while. I mean, those are things we want to forget, right? I want to forget that I used to have panic and anxiety attacks. I want to forget that there was a time I wasn't so lovable. I want to forget that there was a time I lived in bondage. But I can't forget. Because of what Jesus did. And I have to remember so that I can be there for that other person when they're in bondage. So that I can be there for them when they have anxiety attacks. So that I can share what God did for me and see them set free. Your testimony is more powerful than you could ever imagine. And part of your testimony is how you live now. How you live now. What people see in your life now is the biggest part of your testimony, the most important part. You know, when the Lord sent me to Mexico, Mexico is very big on Bible school. Every church association has their own Bible school. And everybody goes to Bible school. And I'm like, Lord, what am I going to teach these people? They've all been to Bible school. They're all, you know, very Bibled. What do you expect me to teach them? And he said to me, what I teach you. Oh, really? Do we have to use that example? Couldn't there be another example that we could use? 19 years, I kept him busy. Never ran out of examples, which is a little sad. But it's also great because it shows 19 years of transformation. 19 years of a mindset that was changed, that was bringing new life into every area of my life. And you could see that change in me. People that knew me before I went to Mexico and then after I came back, they've asked, what happened to you in Mexico? I said, oh, let me tell you what happened. In Matthew 12, verse 34 through 37 says, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasures of, brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. That's a little scary. This specifically mentioned idle words. Idle words. You know, the words without purpose. The words that are just thrown out there for whatever reason. Idle purpose. It says, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Hallelujah. And if we live in that old mindset, our words are condemning us every day. Every day. You know, I have a conversation with my grandsons, who I homeschool almost every day, about the power of our words and the reason what we say matters. Because every word, whether in intention or idle, is a seed that's sown into our lives and into the lives of those around us that we're going to reap a harvest on. Our words should be with a purpose. We shouldn't speak idle words. And I'm always telling my grandkids, if it's not kind, if it's not uplifting, we don't say it. If it isn't loving, we don't say it. You need to speak to one another in love. And, you know, I'm teaching this to a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old. But adults need to learn this too. Adults need to learn to guard their words. Our words need to be sowed with a purpose, sowed with an intent, with a heavenly intent, steered by the new mindset, so that we're speaking life. We're sowing life. We're sowing love. We're speaking love. Because by our words, we are justified and we are condemned. That is powerful. That is powerful. The words we use matter. What we say matters. How we say it matters. And it reflects what's in our hearts. And what's in our hearts reflects our mindset. The old man, the old mindset, sin and death, or the new man, life and peace. Are we speaking life and peace in every conversation? It should be the salt and pepper of our conversations. Life and peace. Life and peace. Because life and peace is love and joy. Because where you have peace, you have love and you have joy. Every conversation should be seasoned with the new mindset, love and peace. Hallelujah. We have to train ourselves so that we don't fall into the old man mindset. Hallelujah. Because we're not the old man anymore. We're not the person we used to be because of that cross and that tomb. We are new. And that needs to be reflected in the way we live and in the way we speak and in the way we relate to one another. It needs to be reflected in our marriages. It needs to be reflected in our friendships. It needs to be reflected in our families and in our children. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we are new creations through Christ Jesus. Luke 6, verse 43 and 45 says, a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its fruit. What fruits are you known by? What fruits are you known by in your families, in your church, in your community, in the restaurants where you eat? Hallelujah. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. So our mouth speaks by what our heart feels and thinks. And what controls our heart? Our mind. What we think. What we feel. In every situation. In every trial. In every moment. What our mind thinks. And if we have that old mindset, our thoughts are going to be, well, she meant that. She meant that to hurt me. She just said that so she could get under my skin. She knows that I'm sensitive in that area. She knows the hurt I went through. She did it just to get at me. That's an old man mindset. That's a death mindset. If you've got the new mindset, you're going to say, my sister's hurting, and I'm going to pray for her. I don't like what she said, not one bit, but I know that wasn't her talking. I know that was the enemy, and I know she has to be hurting. I'm going to pray for her. I'm going to love her more. But is that how we're living? Is that how we're thinking? Because we need to be thinking through the Holy Spirit. We need to be thinking through the new man mindset. Our mindset is going to be governed by our heart. Or what we say, excuse me. What we say is going to be governed by our heart. And our heart is going to be governed by how we think. What we feel is governed by how we think. Our thoughts, hallelujah. Our mindset is made new at salvation, or our mindset is not made new at salvation like our spirit. That's something that has to be transformed through the Word of God, through the time in God's presence, through relationship with the Holy Spirit. We can ask the Holy Spirit, give me better thoughts. Help me think better. Help me think the things that are worthy of thought. Help me to concentrate. You know, when we're stuck in a mindset, all we have to do is change our focus. If all we can feel, oh, that hurts, it hurts, it hurts, it hurts. It hurts so bad, it hurts so bad. And if we just keep pounding on it, woo, it hurts so bad. I'm going to get even. I'm going to get them for doing this to me, for causing this pain. And we just keep at that spot. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. But if we change our focus, okay, Lord, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you to bless them. I'm going to ask that you move in their lives. Lord, I know you love me. I know that your spirit lives in me. And I know that you've called me for a purpose. I know that you have value in me, precious Father. And I won't be detoured by the enemy. You have set me on a plan. You have given me a purpose. And I'm going to continue to seek you. And if we change our mindset, this goes away. This goes away. We have to change our focus. Focus on the new mindset. Focus on the new man. And the more word we absorb, the more word we read, the more word that goes in, the more influence it has over our lives, the more revelation and the more knowledge it brings to us. And you know, knowledge, the difference between knowledge and revelation is revelation hits us and causes change. Knowledge can be something we know and we do nothing with. But revelation, that's where change comes. And we need to live in revelation. The word says, without revelation, my people perish. Hallelujah. We have to have revelation, and we get revelation through the word and through relationship with the Lord. Hallelujah. Galatians 5, verse 16 and 17 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, that sounds easy enough. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. So every morning when we wake up, Holy Spirit, walk with me today. Keep my mind on you and on the things of you. Help me remember I am a new creation. Help me to walk in a new creation mindset. New man mindset. And it says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So we have to change our focus. We have to change our focus. And if we have to change that focus 100 times a day, then we change that focus. There was a time in Mexico I was having some trouble with some pastors. And I thought I kept getting over it. You know, okay, Lord, I'm over it. But then I'd go somewhere new and I'd hear more stuff, you know, that was being said about me. And it just kept going on, and I just got so tired of it. And so every morning I'd begin my morning with the shower, and I'd start in the shower because that was the first thing I did. Okay, Lord, I speak life. I speak love. I speak peace. I choose to love these pastors. I ask you to bless their ministry, bless what they put their hands to, bless their eyes to see you more, their hearts to love you, their mouths to confess you. And I just began praying and praying and praying. And then a thought would pop into my head. I'm in prayer mode, and a random thought pops into my head. Where do you think that comes from? That's the enemy. That's the enemy. And this random thought would be, well, they said this about you yesterday. Oh my gosh, they did just yesterday. Can't they get past this stuff? I mean, how long are they going to tell these stories, Lord? And I'd go downhill, just fall right into the rabbit hole, as my husband says. And then I'd realize, Lord, I was praying and I was blessing you. Where did that come from? And I changed my focus. Okay, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that thought and I speak blessing. I speak life, and I'd start again. And I did this every day for 2 years. For 2 years. At the end of those 2 years, one day I was showering and I was praying for him and I was just speaking blessings. And all of a sudden, Holy Spirit just began to pour out of me. And I was overwhelmed with love for them. Overwhelmed with love and excitement. And I realized my focus had completely changed. My mindset had completely changed. And all of a sudden, I was free. It took 2 years of refocusing and refocusing and refocusing. But it came. And I haven't felt the same since then. It doesn't matter whether they love me or not. It doesn't matter whether they feel the same for me as I feel for them. I don't love others because others love me. I love others because God loves me, because Jesus died for me. How others love me is not measured by how much I love them, or how much I love them is not measured by how much they love me. How much I love others is measured by what Jesus did for me. Doesn't matter whether they love me. Don't get me wrong. I want everybody to love me. I am as insecure as anybody else. I want to be loved. I want to be needed. I want to be liked. I want people to think I'm a great preacher. But it really doesn't matter whether they do or not, because what matters is I'm doing what God told me to do. And I love them no matter what, because it's what God did for me. Before I was worthy of love, before I knew him, he loved me. He loved me. And if he could love me when I was unlovable, if he could love me when I was in bondage and when I was in chains, I can love you in the same place. Because I know God will bring you out of it. Hallelujah. Because he brought me out of it. Hallelujah. The enemy gives you thoughts. And these are called temptations. And he'd plant these thoughts in my mind and I'd follow through and I'd be down this rabbit hole where I didn't want to be until I could change my mindset, till I could change my focus. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm speaking blessings. Janine, bless, bless, bless. The Holy Spirit gives you thoughts. And these are called inspirations. I know it was an inspiration of the Holy Spirit that made me begin to pray every morning for these people. And it was a temptation of the enemy to take that prayer time away and turn it into a complaining time. And it was a change of focus that took me back to speaking blessings and life. Hallelujah. We too should inspire others and not condemn. Because the Lord brings conviction. He doesn't condemn us. So we too should speak life and let the Lord bring conviction by the way we live to others. The things we say reflect our relationship with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't necessarily reflect our love for the Lord. But it does reflect our relationship. You know, we can be saved and go nowhere. We can stay in the old man mindset. We know Jesus. We love Jesus. We're grateful for that cross and we're grateful for that tomb. But that's the end of it. We're saved, but we're not really going anywhere. We are stuck in that old man mindset. There's no victory. There's no peace. There's no change in our character. Hallelujah. There's no fruit, but the fruit we bear is a reflection of our mindsets and our relationships with the Lord. For our actions and words to change, our mindset must change. How we think, what we think, because our thoughts control our hearts. And what's in our hearts comes out our mouth. In 1 Peter 3:8, the word says, "Finally, all of you be of one mind." That should be the new man mindset. We should all live in the new man mindset. Having compassion for one another. The old man, we don't have compassion. That old man mindset, it's all about me, me, me. I am not interested. I don't have time for compassion for others because I'm too worried about me. Hallelujah. Love his brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous. Do you know courteous has gone out with the era of the world we live in now? There's like almost no manners left. There's no pleases and no thank yous. There's no, oh, please go first. It's crazy. But the word teaches about it. Be courteous. Be mannerful. Hallelujah. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this. You were called to bless those who curse you. Ha ha, you were called to love those who hate you and would scorn you. Praise the Lord. He who would love, let's see, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. So if the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and open to his prayers, what's that mean if you're living unrighteously? That you're out of relationship with the Lord and he doesn't have to answer your prayers. Or not necessarily doesn't have to. Maybe he won't. Because it says, for your ears are open to their prayers, talking about the righteous. Now, does that mean if you have sin in your life, you're not righteous? Not at all. I'm righteous. Not because I'm perfect or without sin, but because I'm righteous in Jesus Christ. Because I have the new man mindset. Right? I have the new man mindset. I am living in what Christ has done and given me. That doesn't mean I don't fall sometimes, or that I don't have sin, or I don't have temptation. But it means I'm choosing to live differently than I used to. So it says, let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him, let's see, I skipped a couple, didn't I? No. Okay, so let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. His face is against those who do evil. Wow. So evil. How can we define evil? Let's define evil as sin, right? Because all evil acts are sin, right? So evil is sin. And James 4:17 says, therefore, to him he knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So when we know the right way to live, when we know the right way to speak, to be in relationship, and we choose not to, when we know that we're supposed to love, but we choose not to love that special sister or that special brother, we're in sin, which is evil. You know, we don't think of that. We think of evil as just, ooh, wickedness, evil. But evil is just sin. Just another word for sin, ugly. And when we don't do what we're supposed to, when we don't love, when we're not kind, when we're not courteous, when we're not living in what we know to be true, to be right, to be righteous, it's sin or evil. And how much worse is it for those who know Christ and still refuse to live it, still refuse to forgive, still refuse to love? That is evil. That is real evil, because we understand the price that was paid. You know, someone who doesn't know Christ can't be held to the same standard as you and I who know Christ, because they still don't know Christ. They may have heard of him, but they're not in relationship with him. But you and I who know Christ and are in relationship with him and still choose to not forgive and still choose to not love and still choose to do what is wrong, how much more evil is that? That's scary evil, because we know the cost that was paid for us, for me. I know the cost that was paid for me. Hallelujah. What could be more evil than that? To know the price, to know the cost, and to not be compassionate or forgiving to others that haven't had this relationship with Christ that I have. What could be more evil than that? Or what could be more evil as not living as that example so others can see Christ, so they know him? It's like when we're not living the way we're supposed to be living, when Christ isn't being seen in us, that's evil. It's because it's like we're robbing them of knowing the saving power of Christ. While we proclaim to know Christ, that's scary. That's scary. That breaks my heart. But sometimes we do that, don't we? Sometimes we choose to not live in what we should live or how we should live just because, you know, it's not convenient, or because, you know, we want to hold a grudge longer, or, I mean, there's how many reasons? And yet how much more evil is that than even someone that committed an atrocity but doesn't know Christ and has never known him? How can we judge them by the same standard that we judge ourselves. Hallelujah. We're called to be holy because he's holy. We're called to be righteous because he's called us righteous. Hallelujah. But we have to change our mindsets, or we're going to be stuck in that old man mindset, and that just leads to death. And maybe not just our own. Maybe the grocery checker that you were supposed to say that God loves you. You know, pastor tells the story about being at the restaurant. Forgive me, I don't remember the name of the restaurant. That's not what I took away from the story. About this waitress, and he just felt compelled so strongly, felt the Holy Spirit tell him, tell her, it's going to be all right. What if he'd withheld that? Knowing the Lord was compelling him, knowing she needed to hear this. That's what we do when we don't share Jesus in every word, in every action, in every deed. We are withholding the sight of Jesus from someone who needs to see him. Because he shared with her what God was doing. God ministered to her. God gave her hope. He restored her hope and ministered to her. There's a world full of people that need hope restored. And you're the light in this dark world. You and I, we're the ones called to be the light. You and I are the ones called to be the righteous, to be the loving, to be the kind. But if we have that old man mindset, we're going to just be grumpy old people. We've got to change our mindset so that the world out there sees Jesus in here. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, glory to your name, Jesus. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Thank you for being here. I just want to say a prayer before we close. And you know, if you don't know Jesus, or if you're not walking the way you should, or the way you know that he's called you to walk, as we say this prayer, just lift your hands to the Lord wherever you're at. And just ask him to renew your mind, to help you choose a new mindset, to choose to walk in his ways. If you don't know him, if you've never asked him to be your savior, it's so easy. Just say, Jesus, I recognize you as God and I need a savior. Come and save me, forgive me of my sins and fill my life. And he will. He will. Hallelujah. Because he loved you that much. Whether you know him or have served him or not, he loves you that much. Whether you have done evil acts or not, he loves you that much. That's the beauty of the love of God. Hallelujah. Oh, precious Jesus, Lord, we just cry out to you tonight. We just ask you, Father, help us to choose the new man mindset. Help us to walk in the new man mindset. Help us, Lord, to lay aside the old man mindset, Lord, and choose to walk in the new. Oh, Father, help us to have our minds renewed through your word and through relationship with you, Jesus. Lord, we just ask you, Father, for those that are calling out for you, the lost and the broken and the hurting. Lord, let them see you in us. Let them hear your voice in our voice. Let them hear your words of love in our words of love. Let them see you in our actions and deeds, oh God. Let us be the light in this dark world, Lord Jesus. And Lord, let it just draw people to it like flies come to light, oh God. Let it just draw your people to it. Lord, the calling of hope. Lord, let your people see you in us. See you in us, Lord God. We're just so grateful for you, Father. We're so grateful for your love. We're so grateful for the price that you put on our life. We're so grateful for your presence with us, Lord. We're so grateful for your grace and your mercy, Father. Your gifts, oh God, of not getting what we deserve and receiving what we don't deserve, oh God. Thank you, precious Father. Lord, we just lift up the lost and the broken and the hurting to you, and we ask you to draw them to you, Father. Draw them to you, Father. Lord, and we ask, we just pray for your body, Lord, that the broken and the hurting in your body would be restored and would be healed. Lord, that they can walk in all that you have called them to walk in, that they can walk in the fullness of Christ. And Lord, we just glorify your name. We just praise you, Jesus. We just praise you. We just thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for tuning in tonight, for being here with us. We had a new beginning. We love you dearly, and we appreciate you. And we just say a big God bless you.